Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and if you have a Bible question or something you'd like to discuss with us, perhaps a life issue, well, give us a call right now because we have an open line for you at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now, and let's talk about it because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. I love this passage that we're going to read today in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and Paul starts this out with an explanation of the gospel. He really just lays it out for us in black and white terms. If you want to know what the gospel is, the gospel that saves, the gospel in which you've taken your stand, it's simply this, that Christ died for your sins, Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried, and he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and then he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, then he appeared to more than 500, and then he appeared to James, and then to the Apostle Paul. And then he ascended into the heavens. And so we have the death, the burial, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ that really make up the four elements of this gospel story, and it's all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. And that is God pouring out his grace upon mankind in the person who, when he appeared, was full of grace and truth.
Right.
So we can't separate the grace of God from Jesus Christ himself and the work that he accomplished for us through his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And as Paul goes on through this, he comes to verse 10 and he says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain." So this grace that was poured out in the person of Jesus Christ had its effect in Paul's life. And it took somebody that was a persecutor of the church, somebody who had blasphemed the name of God, and made him a proclaimer of the good news, and someone that lifted high the name of Jesus Christ. That was the Apostle Paul. Now, what caused that change? What caused that transformation? Well, he declares it right here. By the grace of God, I am what I am.
Yeah.
So our identity that truly matters, as far as God is concerned, has been given to us by the grace of God. Mm-hmm. We have become something new in Christ by the grace of God. And he goes on to say, "On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me, whether then it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed." So here was Paul. He was lost. He was dead spiritually. He's angered. His heart is filled with anger. His lips are filled with murderous words.
Yeah.
And he's going after Christians to persecute them, to drag them out of cities and towns and boroughs and all sorts of places down to Jerusalem so that they could be tried and put in prison. He's headed to Damascus. He's on this road. A bright light stops him dead in his tracks. And he meets Jesus. And he hears his voice and says, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord?" And then he discovers the plan of God in the person of Jesus Christ. And that encounter changed Paul from the inside out. It gave him a brand new identity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this identity that was given to him. It came to him by the grace of God. And it was this grace that empowered him to live out who he was and what God had called him to do in this world as a child
mm-hmm.
of God.
Right.
And that's what the grace of God is all about. It is God's work in Christ to make us alive together with Jesus, to give us a new identity, and then to empower us to live out who we are in this world of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the grace of God is all about, and that's what Paul was explaining here in this little passage in 1 Corinthians verse 10, that the grace of God made him alive, gave him a new identity, and empowered him to carry out the ministry
mm-hmm.
that he had in connecting this good news with as many people as he possibly could.
Absolutely, and we're very glad that happened because he wrote just a lot of what we read in this Bible today.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're with us, and if you have a line, hold on to it. We'll get to you in just a moment, but we do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We want to hear from you and interact with you about your particular question or your life issue. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. And friends, we appreciate your partnership with us. And when you give this month, be sure to request your copy of Gateway to Grace, a 6-message series with a study guide to equip you to stand firm in the truth of God's love and grace. Bob, I think this is a great resource that we're sharing with our supporters this month.
It is. Gateway to Grace is really a deep dive into what the grace of God is all about and how it's been expressed to us and just lavished upon us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And if you want to know how to live the Christian life, how it's supposed to look, this is a great resource for you. And it's perfect not only for individual use, but for group use as well. It comes with a study manual that has all of the scriptures just outlined for you that we go through in the CDs. Mm-hmm. So it's a great resource for group study. So if you're interested in holding a group Bible study, man, get this resource and make it available to your Bible study group. Yeah. You will have a fantastic time working through all of these passages of Scripture, and you will see incredible growth in those who are there, people growing in the grace of God and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that growth in the grace of God comes transformation.
Yes, indeed.
And that's what you're going to be able to witness God doing in the lives of these people as they really get rooted in the love and grace of Jesus Christ.
Well, a copy of Gateway to Grace will be coming your way when you make your contribution this month to Basic Gospel, and you can do that right now by going to basicgospel.net and click that big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Greenville, South Carolina, and talk to Bob listening to us today. Hi, Bob.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's doing well. What's on your mind today?
Well, I have a question about the law.
Okay.
We all know that the law ended, right?
Yes.
Is that confirmed? Okay. So sin is transgression of the law.
Well, that's one definition of it.
Christ came to redeem those that were under the law.
Mm-hmm.
Paul says Christ redeems us from the curse of the law. My question is, what law am I transgressing in the 21st century as a non-Israelite?
Well, Bob, Paul also says, like in Romans 15, he says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So whatever you do that's not of faith is sin. That's a definition of sin according to the Apostle Paul. So you and I have been called to a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And there are times when we choose to give in to the desires of the flesh, when we choose to give in to the temptations of the world and act out those desires and act out those temptations, to fully embrace them and to act them out, to let them become a real act in our lives. Well, when we do, we're not operating by faith in Jesus Christ. We're trusting something else at that particular time. So whatever is not of faith is sin. And so that's what he's saying, and that's going to miss the mark.
Faith in Jesus Christ is sin? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's Romans chapter 15.
Well, I get that, but I understand that we have to go with what is the Bible defines sin, right, for us, 1 John chapter 3.
Well, he defines it there, and I'm saying he also defines it for us in this book of Romans, where he says, whatever is not of faith is sin.
Okay, so you're saying if I don't have faith in Christ, it's a sin. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's the sin of unbelief. If you're not a believer, that's what the Spirit came to do, to convince the world wrong about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin because we do not believe in Jesus Christ. So that is
the core. But Christ came to redeem us from the curse, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're having faith that Christ is redeeming you from the curse of the law. That's where my confusion comes in. I mean, I know you understand what I'm saying, right? The law ended. So if I'm not under the law, right, sin is not imputed where there is no law.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 5:13.
Well, here's the deal, Bob. We all came into this world dead spiritually.
But not under the law.
Well, it was the universal law that God said to Adam and Eve. Well, God said to Adam and Eve, the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. And so there's this law of sin and death. And we all come under this world. Listen to me, Bob.
I am, but you're not answering the question.
I am answering the question.
What law am I under?
You're not under the Mosaic law. You're not under the Mosaic law at all. But what I'm saying is if you decide to divorce your wife, that's still sin, right?
I'm not under the law.
But it's you're harming your wife. That's the deal.
Right,
so you're missing the mark.
I'm not under the law that tells me not to divorce my wife, though, right? I mean, you're making up a law now.
No, I'm not. You're under the law of love, Bob. I mean, you have
love.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so now I'm sinning if I don't love enough. Is that what you're saying?
Bob, you're just.
I'm trying to get a basis.
So if you hurt your wife.
Why would I hurt my wife?
Well, you will. You will say things that hurt her. I mean, you just will.
But
you
don't.
Just will. And you may, and some other woman may come into the picture, and you may decide to divorce your wife, and go off with this other girl. So what do you call that? What do you call that when you do that? Well, I think the Bible calls that sin, and the reason the Bible calls it sin is because you are bringing harm to another individual's life. And it misses
right.
the mark
but
of
I'm
love.
Not
that's what sin.
The law, right? I mean, you do understand. I mean, I know you know. The whole story is about the law, right?
No, the whole story is about
Adam
sin and death. That's
right.
The
and
story.
Sin existed between Adam and Moses, but where the law isn't, sin is not imputed. That's
mm-hmm.
Romans 5:13. So yes, sin exists outside of the law, but the only sin that's imputed, according to the word, is sin under the law.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're in Christ, there's no condemnation for you. That's exactly right. There's no condemnation for you. But this life that...
You still haven't told me what law a non-Israelite in the 21st century is under that he needs to be redeemed from.
You don't need to be redeemed. You're already redeemed if you're a believer in Christ.
I was born redeemed.
No, you were born dead, and when you come to Christ...
I was born dead to, because I transgressed the law?
No, because you were in Adam.
But sin is not imputed, for there is no law.
Well, you're dead. You were under the condemnation of sin and death, and then you were set free from that law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life. Now, you're going to have to argue with Paul on that. I mean, that's Romans 8:1.
I'm not arguing with Paul. Paul's the one that said sin is not imputed where there is no law.
That's...
He's the one that said Christ came to redeem us from the curse of the law. So I would imagine the us there is those that were under the law in the first place.
Well, no.
Pretty crazy.
Well, I don't know exactly what you're trying to get at other than to say, are you saying that there's no more sin?
If sin is transgression of the law, sir, and there's no more law, then what I'm saying is I have never transgressed the law, and neither have you.
So you've never sinned? Is that what you're saying, Bob?
I've never transgressed the law.
So have you never sinned?
I've never transgressed the law.
You're not answering my question.
I've done immoral things, sure, and I've done things that hurt
Okay,
me.
And you don't want to call it sin.
I'll call it what the Bible calls it.
Yeah, well, the Bible calls that sin, so... And you should call it
that
as well. So
John chapter 3 defines sin.
Well, Bob, I don't want to confuse other people. I think you're confusing people with what you're trying to say, and God's not the author of confusion. So I don't want to continue on this conversation. So I appreciate your call, my friend.
844-322-2742. If it's roughly a quarter past 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the Basic Gospel Live. We'd like for you to be a part of the broadcast. 844-322-2742. Bob, we have this question from Kathy, who dropped us a note from Georgia. Says, I've been hearing many inquiries regarding predestination on your program and elsewhere. One question in Andrew's excellent book, Twisted Scripture, concerns predestination. I have not heard a mention of the term chosen or elect on your program or in the book. What are your thoughts on those terms? I have seen many answers on predestination that do not align with the basic gospel ones. Thanks so much to Bob and Andrew.
Well, there's all kinds of thoughts and ideas and opinions and theological systems about predestination and election and being chosen and all of those sort of things. Mm-hmm. And so there's the Calvinist viewpoint that is very much really stemming or coming from the view of the sovereignty of God and the condition of man. So if we're dead, then we can do absolutely nothing to save ourselves. Well, that's true. So God saves us by grace. And so He chooses us, He calls us, He makes us alive, and He regenerates us, mm-hmm. and then we have faith. And right. So that's their viewpoint. So it's all of God's work. Man has nothing involved in that at all. So they really take that to the far extreme.
Right.
And then there are people that try to counter it and say, no, it's God and man working together. And then there's other people that say, hey, no, God's just throwing it out there. And then it's our choice. It's our free will that saves us. And so you have that gamut. And what we've tried to do is to take these words and put it into the context of how Paul is using them. And in all of the different chapters in the Bible that you talk about being chosen, being elected, being predestined, it's always couched in terms of Jew and Gentile.
Right.
So, for example, in Ephesians chapters 1, 2, and 3, we see that the conclusion of all of this talk about the grace of God, the fact that we've been chosen in Him to be adopted, to be holy and blameless in His sight, is that both Jew and Gentile would come together as one new man, that we would make up this new entity called the body of Christ. So that is always the context of these issues. So yes, God saves us individually, and we've all had our stories of how that took place in our lives, how we came to that point where we received Jesus Christ. And for us, it was simply calling out to God. What caused that to happen? Well, it was the grace of God. We didn't make that choice. We didn't call out to God in a vacuum. We didn't get just a set of facts, and then we decided to research that and study it and come to some decision. No, this was all initiated by God, and it was a response through faith mm-hmm. on our end.
Right.
So that's how Paul put it. We are saved by grace through faith. So that's the individual story, but this predestination, election, and chosen kind of goes up higher and looks at people groups. It looks at Jews and Gentiles. So we're chosen to be adopted. We're chosen to be holy and blameless in God's sight. It's the gospel message that elects us, that calls us out of this world, and we're saved. And when we're saved, we're predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. God predestined that beforehand.
Yes.
So all of that is part of the story, but all those words are couched in the context of Jew and Gentile.
Right.
And the fact that both Jew and Gentile are saved in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus, and God predestined that both Jew and Gentile would receive the gift of God's Spirit and God predestined that both would be added to the body of Christ, and they would become one new man in him.
Well, Kathy, hope that was a good explanation for you. It was for me. I appreciate it, Bob. Appreciate the clarity of that. And friends, wherever you hear this broadcast, we invite you to the Simply Grace Conference. That's going to be Friday evening and Saturday, September 6th and 7th. This is your chance to come and be fully immersed in the bedrock truth of God's grace. His grace and his love cannot be separated. They're both part of what 1 John 3 says that he has lavished upon us. And this is what the Simply Gospel conference is all about. Your chance to come and, as I said, be immersed in the grace of his love and the love of his grace. All information is online at basicgospel.net/events, and we want to see you there September 6th and 7th. Again, that's basicgospel.net/events for information on the September Simply Grace Conference. Well, Bob, a question from an anonymous writer in Seattle. Anonymous in Seattle, how you like that? Yeah. I was told that every time we sin, we have to repent. Did Jesus die for all sins and we don't continue in sin? Thank you for teaching the New Covenant message of grace that teaches us to say no to sin and fall in love with Jesus. That's from an anonymous writer in Seattle.
Well, it's not so much a question as a statement.
Right.
And the fact of the matter is this, that when we come to Christ, we receive Christ, and in him is forgiveness of sins, is redemption, forgiveness of sins. So we stand before God as forgiven people. We are no longer under the law of sin and death. We have been set free from that by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So there's no condemnation. We are totally forgiven people. So what does repentance have to say, or what about repentance in the Christian? Mm-hmm. We've already repented. We've already changed our mind about God's plan of salvation. We thought life was maybe out there in the world. We were humbled by the emptiness we experienced through that. And when the gospel message was presented to us, our minds started to change.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
We started to think, hey, life isn't out there in the world. It's found in Christ. And so we respond to that gospel message. That's all a part of that repentance process, the changing of our minds, seeing that Jesus Christ truly is God's plan of salvation for each and every one of us, where our hearts are now fully centered in Christ. We are recognizing that he is the source of life. And we're saved.
Yeah.
Well, do we need to keep on repenting for every single sin? And some have reduced that down to a formula that when you sin, you're out of fellowship. So to get back into fellowship, you need to confess that, ask God to forgive it, and then tell him you're never going to do it again. That's kind of the confession, the ask, and the repentance part of it. But God never has called us to live out a formula. So our minds are constantly being renewed, and so we're constantly, when we hurt others, when we do things that fall short of the love of God that he has poured out in our hearts, we see them for what they are in light of this grace of God that we live in, and our minds continue to change, and we see that, hey, that real life, abundant life, is found in Christ and Christ alone. So it's a lifelong process of this mind getting fully aligned with the truth of the gospel.
Yes, indeed. Well, Anonymous, I hope that that was a help to you. And friends, keep in mind that the Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and it's your prayers and gifts, of course, that keep Basic Gospel on the air and online every day. And when you make your August gift, you'll receive the 6-CD audio series and study guide called Gateway to Grace. We talked about it a little bit earlier. Please click Donate at BasicGospel.net and make your gift, and with your donation, request your 6-CD copy of Gateway to Grace, including the study guide. Again, that's Donate at BasicGospel.net. And while you're online, get all the information on the upcoming Simply Grace Conference. That's going to be September 6th and 7th right here in our ministry hometown of Lewisville, Texas. And you can register at basicgospel.net/events. Go there if you can and get all the information and make your decision. We'd love for you to come wherever you're hearing this broadcast and be a part of it. And we'll just share Jesus together. So again, that's basicgospel.net/events for the Simply Grace Conference. We hope you will join us. Between now and tomorrow's broadcast, if you have a question, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742 or email bob@basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. Same time, same station. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.